Once upon a time.
These words mark the beginning of many stories. You may know that Once Upon a Time is also the theme for this year's Pendleton's annual scarecrow contest. You've seen those scarecrows, haven't you? As you travel around town, you will see these various scarecrows that depict well-known stories, from Cinderella to Bigfoot to Mother Goose. Our own scarecrow in front of the church is difficult to miss. A scarecrow Rapunzel stands atop our church sign with long straw hair trailing to the ground below. Once upon a time are familiar words. When we hear them, we know there is a story to follow. The story we find in the book of Ruth begins with a different phrase, but one that offers us clues regarding the setting of this story, which is to follow. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 begins with, "In the days when the judges ruled." To understand what this means, you need to look back in your Bible one page to the end of the previous book, the book of Judges. The very last verse of the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25, says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes." The book of Judges describes a rather dangerous time period, especially for women. Judges includes several rather disturbing stories of violence committed against women. This was not a safe time to be in Israel. And this is the backdrop against which the story of Ruth takes place. And so when Ruth and Naomi are traveling from Moab to Bethlehem, they are traveling as two widows without resources through an uncertain landscape, one that is often filled with danger and violence. Naomi is returning to a place that used to be her home, but she's not sure if there is a place for her there anymore. She is not sure if she has a place anymore. "Call me no longer Naomi," she says, "call me Mara." While Naomi means pleasant, Naomi feels that her days of pleasantness are over. Mara means bitter, and she is returning to Bethlehem bitter and sad after the loss of her husband and her two sons. "I went away full," she says, "but the Lord has brought me back empty." Ruth is arriving in a place she has never been before, a place where she is considered a foreigner, an outsider, a place where her only connection is her late husband and her bitter mother-in-law. Ruth is a Moabite, and Israel has a long history of animosity toward the Moabites. It goes back to the book of Deuteronomy, really further than that, but in Deuteronomy we hear an explanation of why. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, starting in verse 3, we read this: "No Ammonite or Moabite shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of their descendants shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord, because they did not meet you with food and water on your journey out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. Yet the Lord your God refused to heed Balaam. The Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loved you. You shall never promote their welfare or their prosperity as long as you live." And so this is how the people of Israel viewed the Moabites. They were told, "You should never promote their welfare as long as you live." And yet, Ruth boldly proclaims to Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. Your people who are against me and my people, your people shall be my people." What an act of sacrifice. What an act of faith. Leaving behind all she has ever known to go to a people who actively work against the welfare and prosperity of her people. When she arrives in Bethlehem, the response that Ruth receives is surprisingly welcoming. Her hard work is recognized. Her dedication to Naomi is honored. She is protected and provided for by the community in which she has come to seek refuge. She finds a home there and truly becomes a part of the family of Israel. The book of Ruth is an important story in the Old Testament scripture because it reminded the people of Israel of God's grace that reaches even beyond the limits of God's laws.
It was Moses, the great giver of the law, who had given the people the instructions regarding how they should treat the Moabites, and they understood these instructions to be directly from God. And yet, in the story of Ruth, a Moabite, of all people, is welcomed into God's family. And as I shared with the children, she became an ancestor of Jesus. She's an ancestor of King David, and of course, David is an ancestor of Jesus. So Ruth plays an essential role in the family of God. The law says Israel must not admit her to the assembly. The law says Israel must never promote her welfare or prosperity. And yet, she is included, she is protected, and she becomes a part of that lineage of King David and then of Jesus. Ruth is included at God's table. And this story is included in Scripture to remind us that God's grace reaches further than we can imagine. We are included at God's table. In spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our past, in spite of our sin and brokenness and failures, God wants us at God's table. There is room for us in God's kingdom. I recently read a novel entitled Someone Knows about a young woman named Allie who was haunted by a mistake she made as a teenager. She and some friends were involved in a prank which went tragically wrong and resulted in the death of another teenager. They kept what happened a secret, and it has haunted Allie for 20 years. And this story reminded me of that powerful hold that sin can have over us. When we know we have fallen short of what God wants for us, when we know we have caused harm to others, sometimes we punish ourselves when what God wants is to welcome us back to the table. No matter what we have done, we are not beyond the reach of God's forgiveness and grace. This also means that our neighbors, the Moabites, those that we see as the other, the outsiders, the ones we think God has rejected, have a place at God's table as well. Because no matter what they have done, they are not beyond the reach of God's forgiveness and grace. Today is World Communion Sunday, a day when Christians all over the world are celebrating communion. What an appropriate day to hear this story of Ruth, and to be reminded that at God's table there is space for us all. In spite of our differences, in spite of our past, in spite of our sinfulness, God offers us forgiveness and a place at God's table. And so as we prepare in just a moment to come to God's table to receive the gift of communion, may we accept the grace of God for each of us, and may we offer grace to one another. Let us pray. God, we pray that you would prepare our hearts as we come to this table. Open our hearts that we might offer grace to others. Open our hearts that we might truly see ourselves as you do, as your children, as sinners, but as those who belong to you, those to whom you wish to offer forgiveness. We pray, God, that we would accept your forgiveness and that we would allow your forgiveness to transform our lives. That we would live not held down by memories of the past or worries or fear, but that we would move forward knowing that we are welcome in your kingdom and we are offered a place at your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.